KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Here we are. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, and my name is Alon.
And my name's Ara.
Now, we're on a little bit late tonight just because of that other stuff going on earlier. I hope nobody minds. We're going to try and squeeze in as much show as we always do, maybe with some shorter commercials. So if you're listening live, keep listening and enjoy the show. If you want to call in, it's 866-536-1100, and you can also join in the live chat at chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com. We're there now. And, well, we've got a... We've been talking for a long time. We had this extra time before the show.
It's been an interesting week.
It has been. Now, one of the first things Ara asked me when I come in to the studio tonight is, hey, did you read the rest of my article? And I sheepishly admit, no, I hadn't. Not only had I not read the
sheepishly,
whole thing.
Sheepishly, it was more like giddily.
It was. I didn't mean to.
It was just like, I didn't spend any time on that?
No,
you must be crazy.
That's me letting the judgment. Yeah.
No, but it was funny, and honestly, like, I completely expected you to not only do that but react that way too. So,
no, it's just, you know, when this show is up, people may think that we live and breathe Chatterbox week in, week out, but it's not true. Like, I got a job, you got a job.
Yeah, we only start doing that about 30 minutes before the show.
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit longer. Like, you're nice enough to tell me a whole day in advance that you may be quite busy on Tuesday and may not have as much time for the show when Tuesday rolls around, and I appreciate that.
No, we do actually prepare a few hours, but yes. I do, because we don't want to get caught with our pants
down. And throughout the week, while I'm doing things related to video games, like writing an article for the Golgatron, which is extremely rare, or whatever, I might think, oh, this is something we should discuss on the show, and that happens. But
like Thexter Neo.
Yes. That's all you, though. I didn't even know
it was
out yet.
We'll get back to that in a minute.
So anyway, I don't think about what happened on Tuesday at the show on Wednesday, and we'll get emails from listeners every once in a while, and that reminds me a little bit about it, but I certainly don't think, oh, I told Ara I was going to read that article. I told her I should read that article, and I should have, but...
Yes, you should.
You know, I just didn't.
I'll let it slide this time, but the reason why we're bringing this up again, we talked about it last show. Yes, you'll have to endure a little bit more of talking about it this show.
Should we remind people what it is?
Yeah, so I wrote this article for Gamma Sutra. You can go and check it out at gammasutra.com. I'm presuming that people can figure it out.
We got the Google here. They can figure it out.
It's an article called The Uneasy Merging of Narrative and Gameplay. Went up last week, and it was very interesting to me because reading all the comments that appeared, right? This is invariably the case, no matter, same thing with games I work on, same thing with apparently articles I write, which, and I guess it should be of no surprise, but I always get comments that are ridiculously gushing to an absolute absurdity, right? I mean, on Facebook, my realtor is like, oh, you should be a VP of development by now. Wow, that was, I couldn't understand two words. Woo!
Your realtor, really?
Yes, my realtor. Right.
I wouldn't expect anything but total ass-kissing from your realtor.
Okay.
But, no offense
but
to said
also,
realtor.
Also, people who have reading comprehension skills read and also post really gushing feedback, which is nice to hear, but it's too positive. Like, I know it wasn't that good. Like, come on, guys. Okay? But then on the other side, right, I also get the other extreme, which is just strawmanning the S out of me. And
can you explain what strawmanning means? Because I still don't know what that means.
Okay.
I can only relate through context.
What I understand it to mean, which is what I believe is true, but maybe if I'm wrong, someone can correct me, is they say, hey, like, I'm talking about something about chocolate ice cream, right?
I like chocolate ice cream.
And this guy attacks my opinion about chocolate ice cream, but his attack is actually an attack on vanilla ice cream, right? Because
You like chocolate ice cream because you don't like vanilla.
Or, well, it's more like, it's basically they're taking an argument, right, or taking a subject of discussion and actually changing it to something else in order to basically get a stronger position out of it, if that makes sense.
Yes. People who have difficulty time expressing themselves tend to do this.
Right. So instead of, like, you know, beating me up, right, and this is where the analogy or the term comes from, they beat up the straw man, right? So the straw man is this argument and context that they fashion, which is not the actual context of discussion, but it's close enough to be confused and hilarity and other things ensue.
Well, you had a lot of words, so there's a lot of potential confusion.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, it's a very subtle topic, and I was really interested to hear the wide variety of feedback. Some of it I think was good in terms of not like positive, but okay, that's a good point. And some of it, unfortunately, a lot of it I thought was just straw man BS with people who are certainly passionate, but maybe with less of an ability to actually direct that passion into something intelligible.
Yeah, but I mean, this is, of course, inherent to the internet. And I'm not going to go on here and talk about trolling. Not a topic I want to cover, but
yeah, you
certainly need to be ready for that. Like, if you want to receive some feedback, you're going to have to receive a lot of crap feedback.
Sure, so I'm ready.
By nature.
I'm ready. I want to open up our show as, and this will be anytime someone wants to make a comment on that piece, they can write us.
Someone has, and we'll
address that on the show today. If you're feeling gutsy, I would encourage you to call in.
Yeah. Check our website. It tells you when we air,
regardless
of time zone.
Anything you have to say about it. If you think I'm full of crap, come on the show. Tell me I'm full of crap.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what I think of it after us talking. And, of course, reminding everyone that I haven't even read it all.
Before you haven't read the whole thing.
It was quite long. What you've explained to me, like you set the foreground as there are rules. I'm going to discuss narrative. I'm going to discuss gameplay. I'm going to say narrative is the time at which gameplay is not happening. Gameplay is the time at which narrative is not happening.
Yeah, basically, it's the subject is sufficiently complex that I really had to spend, yeah, like 500, 600, 700, 800 words setting up my definitions, because people throw around words like gameplay and narrative. Meaning 800 different things, right? And so in order to have a meaningful discussion about it, you have to be really precise about it. And it's funny because some of the comments even accused me of fashioning my definitions, for the sole purpose of just making correct arguments, right?
Yeah. Well, and I can perhaps tell you why that is. So if you're saying narrative, I believe what you're saying is the developer wants to portray some sort of story, right? So his intention is to say such and such happened, then this happened and this other thing. So like your mission to save the princess might include a lot of fighting, but he doesn't say you fought this guy, then this guy, then this guy. He just said you started, you fought a bunch, and then, oh, there was this theme with the princess. He might tell that in a cutscene.
Yeah, let me distill the intent of the article down into a very compact form for you. Really, the whole purpose of it was simply to say, in cases where you want to – there was actually a few points. But one of them is in situations where you have narrative and gameplay going on simultaneously in real time, these are the compromises that you have to make between one or the other. And the more strongly you represent one, the more compromises you have to make on the other side. And this is why. And here are some examples. And the other overarching gist of it was to say, hey, if your intent, assuming that you have a certain intent to convey an emotion or a state or an experience by way of your game product, and I'm using these words game product very specifically, then you have to understand that narrative, meaning a non-interactive type of exposition, is a device that is really, really good at expressing or inducing or conveying emotions X, Y, and Z, or states X, Y, and Z. And gameplay is not as good as narrative as doing X, Y, and Z. Gameplay can do A and B and C much better. And if your intent is to, say, impart, you know, feeling X, right, then you should choose basically the correct tool for what you want to convey instead of just either haphazardly doing it or doing it just because this is the way that games have done it with the typical, you know, gameplay / cutscene type of structure, you know, be very, very deliberate about what you want to convey and choose the right tool for the job, and don't just haphazardly put them in. That's really all it was. Yeah. And it's funny because, yeah, there's a lot of baggage with this thing, right? So people get pretty fired up.
But what I've realized happened here is that basically it seemed to me like you weren't expressing so much an opinion or something that could even lead to an argument if fully understood. It simply is a statement of how things are. My presumption is that you have this desire to educate people about how things are so that they may be enlightened, right? So you can't have gameplay and narrative mix without these compromises, right? Correct. So if you're trying to do that, you need to understand these compromises. So if you want to make a game full of gameplay, then you need to be willing to sacrifice the narrative. And so God of War is the modern prime example of this, which is very similar to Dragon's Lair from years ago.
Right. Well, certain parts of it. But yes. That's a good example. And it's funny because like even this this one comment that we got today, which we'll get to in a minute, very well written, right? But honestly, tangential to the point of my article, frankly.
Yeah. Well, he throws a lot of stuff in there that just like, well, wait a minute, that's sort of what you said, and then you're like, no, that sounds like you didn't listen to what he said, and I don't know. And anyway, one of the things I wanted to say to you, our listener, on today's show was, I was thinking in advance of the show, I think, you know what, we really, time goes by, and I realize we don't have enough interaction with the audience, and so we get these emails, and we don't always read the emails because we get on off our on our own tangents, so it's hard to blame others for doing the same thing with their arguments. We do that, but I certainly hope that people will want to write us more, and perhaps because we make fun of them ruthlessly when they do, maybe that's why they don't want to write us. But I'll give you an example.
But really, if you take the time to, you know, compose something when you're not completely stoned, that will definitely help things.
Yes. Now, I'll give you an example. We want to encourage our listeners to write to us and to either ask questions, give us topics that they'd like us to discuss, just make their own statements that we may critique a lot or whatever, right? I'll give you an example. Without censorship, this is exactly what was written to us through the handy-dandy contact form on our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. Someone who calls himself Poe wrote to us. So thank you, first of all, for taking the time, Poe, to write to us last week.
We do actually appreciate even the most poorly worded of emails.
Yes. But. So I'm going to start by saying English, probably not the first language for this guy. But that's fine. Take it. Understand the context. Forgive him for the imperfect English. Hello, my name is Poe. I am writing about Xbox 360's defect with Ring of Death. Xbox is wanting to charge me money to fix this defect. The game was purchased in 2006. It started messing up in 2009. We purchased a new one for this past Christmas. With the new $400 game console and the old $400 games console, they would not take that into consideration. I do not think it is right for them not to fix a defect that they know about. So far, we have spent over $2,000 on two game consoles and games. Nothing else. No salutation at the end. No, like that is the whole email.
After hearing this and slash reading it for the third time now, I think I know what he's saying.
Okay. Like clearly he's saying he's writing about this.
Yeah, no, I think he's just like asserting that he's writing to us about it instead of like
writing
an article.
Oh, you think he's saying he's writing an article.
That's the interpretation I took this third time.
Ah, that only just hit me.
Yeah. That's much sounds much better now, huh?
Yeah. Well, except he's still like usually there's a call to action. Someone has a question. In a conversation, if I were to walk up to you, and I'm speaking to the listener, walk up to you on the street and just say, hey, I like turtles, and then walk away, like, what would you do with that?
That's pretty right. Funny. No, I'm going to try that.
The person who makes base observations or statements to you with nothing else to say is the person who's looked at wide-eyed, wondering how they escaped whatever facility they're in and why they chose to approach you and what they expect you to say.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm sorry, Poe. It's great that you wrote to us about this or that you're writing an article about it, whatever it is you're actually doing. I'm not sure what you were getting at. And if you have a question, let me know. I would love to try and answer it or discuss. Maybe you just wanted us to discuss it on the show.
You know, like other radio shows, when people call and then the DJ or whatever is like, what's the question? What's the question? That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. It's not always easy. But maybe he's just saying we should discuss this as a topic. But he didn't say that, I'm very confused.
Maybe we should when we return.
Oh, I totally don't want to.
Just for a second.
All right, we're going to break. We'll be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. Chatterbox, video game radio.
So if you were listening live, then you may have just heard a commercial for UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. They are a wonderful sponsor. Keep the show going. You should go to uat.edu to learn about the programs they offer so you can get into the games industry with a little more education under your belt.
Maybe write some articles.
Yeah, maybe write some articles.
Or maybe not.
For the Gamma Sutra.
Maybe write some comments.
Yeah. All right, so...
I think I know what that guy was saying after several of churning over in my head this email.
Should just discuss it?
Yeah, well, just to be brief, he bought the console in 2009. It red-ringed in
2006.
It red-ringed in 2009, right?
Just after the warranty.
I think that's after the extension of their warranty. Because remember how they announced that, like, all warranties, because if they red ring, it's automatically extended by a certain period of time. I think it was like 2 years or something like that.
Yeah, it was a total of 3 years. So technically, he could have been within, but he also may not have been, and I suppose that he wasn't.
Right. So I'm assuming that it was probably just after the extension of the warranty expired. And hey, Poe, that sucks. I thought that whole policy I thought was strange because the 2 year extension or however long it was. On the warranty was only if it fails by red ring, which is very odd because if it fails by any other reason, right?
Then it's only the 1 year.
Right. So then, like, what? Like, the tactic that people take is, okay, let's just make it red ring, or let's just tell them it red ringed, which apparently sometimes works too. So that sucks. I'm sorry. I don't know that's it. That's them yeah. breaks, right?
Well, what he doesn't understand is, I don't know how old this guy is and how much experience he has in the old real world. But, you know, that's retail. Nowadays, this is not like it was 20 or 30 or 50 years ago. People sell you stuff that breaks. You should be buying your electronics with the absolute expectation that you will be replacing it soon. Whether or not it's replaced by the same thing,
well,
you know, or virtually the same product.
I don't do that, but...
Well, you do now that you just bought an LCD TV.
Nah.
Like, your other one technically still worked. Nothing wrong with it.
Oh, wonderful. It's 10 years old.
Yeah.
10-year-old TV. Fantastic.
And even that is in the age of, you know, S that just breaks. So be ready, dear listener. Whatever it is you own that runs by electrons will most definitely break be useless.
I'm with you on consoles. Other stuff, maybe not necessarily so much.
Dude, nothing still works anymore. Nothing does. I broke out my roommate's VCR to do a VCR to DVD conversion recently.
Yeah.
That still worked. That was cool, but it was weird. Like, it didn't work perfectly. But of course, probably the tape that I was using more than the VCR. But electronics, man, they break. And Poe, that's 3 years of fun you got out of your console. He's definitely not American because there's no $400 Xbox anymore. That's not happening.
Oh, you think so? You think it's international?
Yeah, I think South Pacific Asian living in Australia is my guess.
Okay, it's a good guess.
Right, where they have dollars. Although he didn't say AUD. Anyway, off topic.
Anyway, we have more letters.
We do. We got another one from someone talking about this very topic of narrative in games. And maybe we should just go over that before we rather than coming back to it again later, what I'm saying.
Yeah, let's just talk
Why
about
not
it.
Why not stick with it?
Why not?
So here's the thing. This guy actually wrote a pretty good email. This is Casey, so I appreciate Casey writing in. But we don't agree on all of the email.
Well, I mean, I do agree on some of it, and I necessarily... Well, it's interesting because whether this is deliberate or not, or whether he was intentionally doing it is unclear, but he seems to mention a lot of things that are related to the issue that I was talking about specifically, but not the exact same context. So, for example, he was suggesting that, you know, oh, I don't think that you should say these things are things people should do in order to mix narrative and gameplay. And it's a little surprising because there's nowhere in the article that I said that those are actually techniques people should use. It was mostly a survey of the techniques that have been used and why the compromises of narrative and gameplay occurring simultaneously. I think I probably should have used that phrase about 10 more times in the article in retrospect. Why these compromises are necessary and what they are in specific, right? Which is a different tack than he took in the
email. It was like I was trying to say earlier, like, you were simply stating something that is, not something that is debatable. It's just is. And you want people to understand that, and then you can make that realization so that you're not trying to do something that is going to end up not working.
Sure. But maybe there's a maybe you can find while I talk an interesting excerpt that we can read out.
Well,
loud.
Clearly Casey listens to the show, so thank you for that. And I'm going to treat you with the utmost respect. And by that, I mean I'm going to treat you exactly as I treat Aura by not reading your entire email and by only reading an excerpt of it and then criticizing heavily. So let's go upon that mission. Casey writes, I think we're asking the wrong questions here. The concept of how would scene X in movie Y work in a game is like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Players don't want to play scenes from a movie in their video games. They want to create their own story.
Now, I agree with the first part, and I disagree with the second part, which I think you do, too.
Really? Yeah. No, I actually completely disagree with the first part.
Okay, wait, what's the first part again?
Players don't want to play
the scene. No, that's the second part, the first part.
That was just set up. The first part was just set up. I don't care about the first part.
How
would scene X in movie Y work in a game? It's like trying to square... Right.
That wasn't even the question. See, this is the interesting subtlety of very complex issues, because the intent, and nowhere was there an attempt to explain how a scene in a movie should work in gameplay or works in gameplay. Quite the contrary. It was an illustration of why an exposition from, for example, a movie, which is simply an example of a completely non-interactive exposition, cannot really work in gameplay.
Well, the example I want to use, and I'm going to pick on a sentence here, saying players don't want to play scenes from a movie. And I'm going to use some personal experience here. We've heard me refer to my friend David on several occasions, and he's been on the show a long, long time ago, several times. So he works at Electronic Arts, and he's done a lot of marketing for them. And at one point, he did marketing for Lord of the Rings games. You know how there were a bunch of them, right? I think I'm talking about the second game in the series, which of course is probably related to the second book or movie in the series.
Sure.
Point is, EA took the marketing point of, I forget the tagline they used, but it was essentially be the hero, right? So everyone knew the story. Everyone had read the books or seen the movies or heard about it from their brother, whatever. We knew the Lord of the Rings story, and now it was, we're going to recreate that experience. You can be one of the heroes in that game. And so they were very specifically placing, you know, all of their work and efforts in creating and marketing this game on the fact that people do in fact want to recreate the scene for movie. That was the entire premise. He said, like, we pick a line, we pick something clear about it that drives a desire, like something people want, and we just build everything else around that in terms of marketing, because that's what his job was.
And I do agree that many video game-based movies, and probably, in fact, all of them, are based around that premise. But let me do a little bit of devil advocating here. I think that any time you get into the business of people want to do this and people do not want to do that, it just degenerates into meaninglessness. Because how can you say that? How can you say that the aggregate mass of people who ever could play a video game want or don't want to do something with any amount of certainty?
Well, no. You're never, first of all, going to be exact. But on top of that, you're also never going to talk about everyone, because not everyone has the same feelings.
Right. But that's the thing. Like, I think that I have an issue with him making such a broad statement just as it is.
My friend, the guy working at EA, or the guy writing this email? Casey.
Well, the issue is with any statement that's quite that broad. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't think it's that unfair. Saying that people want to do this just means that there's enough people who could make the game financially sustainable.
Okay, sure. Okay, so well, now that you've been more precise, I can agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's presume. Well, okay. So I've defined. Okay. Moving forward, the fact is that there is a large group of people who want this. And of course, it still has to do with how well you make the game, how interesting it is. Now, let's explain how that works, though. Within the context of the game, there's cutscenes and there's gameplay. They very rarely are like having a narrator tell the story while you're slashing the sword. But here's what's important, right? We know in Lord of the Rings, certain ones anyway, of the books, there were really large battles. And battling is what's fun. Like, that's the gameplay hook.
Sure.
So there's also storyline.
Not having, like, you know, like a wedding or whatever in, like, you know, Hobbiton.
No, and who knows? That might have happened too. I don't care. My point is, there's cutscenes. They move forward with story, but they do it in a way that's absolutely zero interaction. So it's your whole narrative minus gameplay, right? They're just telling the story. And that is interesting because it's probably good CG graphics and it's good voiceovers and it's appealing visuals, all this stuff.
Sure,
whatever.
Sure. Maybe to put it another way, right? For example, perhaps, you know, they choose the scenes in the story that are the most action-packed. You play through those scenarios, and the ones that are in between, right, that are maybe more suited for narration, less suited for action, maybe they tell those through cutscene.
Yeah, and now in the movie, the director tells the very exact story of, at a precise point, the guy with the sword, you know, slashes at this particular bad guy, and then he moves on and plunges his sword into another specific bad guy, but it's irrelevant to the storyline. The only story arc that matters is that they fought in the battle and they either won or lost, and maybe during that battle someone was hurt, someone who was key to the story, right? But nobody knows the names of each orc. Nobody cares if you
except 50 for the one that they fabricated just for the movie.
Whatever. So you can play through that battle portion, total gameplay, zero narrative, and by zero narrative I mean, yes, a battle happened, that's quite obvious, but exactly how it happened is totally irrelevant, because if you die, then the game's over and it's not going to progress the story, right? But if you succeed, you're going to see the rest of the story, and all you know is you won the battle, right? Your guys survived. But they're still going to have all these bottlenecks of, you run into this next scene where they use narrative solely, meaning no gameplay, to continue the story until they release gameplay upon you again, where you play another scene from a movie, which is simply a less strictly bound battle. And then they continue in this cycle of gameplay and narrative, gameplay and narrative, gameplay and narrative. But they never happen at the same time. And if they do, it's like Dragon's Lair, where you're sort of playing, but really what you're doing is watching a story and just making sure you press buttons the right time.
Or some other compromise.
Yeah. We'll be back. Different topic.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back again. So the show hopefully will be as long as the normal show, but I think we are going to get cut short just a few minutes. So apologies to the listeners who expect a clean 44 minutes out of us every week.
It's going to be a dirty 47 minutes, I predict.
You think it'll be actually longer than usual?
Well,
44 is our average, in case you weren't sure.
Oh, you mean like actual total time?
Yes.
I mean like not including breaks.
Oh, yeah.
I was including
breaks. I only look at the audio files when I put the podcast together. It's 44 minutes, like 44 minutes and 30 seconds or whatever.
Gotcha.
It varies ever so slightly. All right, so I guess we have all sorts of things. I'm trying to think. What did I have in my head? Oh, yeah, article that I wrote for the Golgatron. So you wrote an article for Gamasutra. I put one up on Golgatron. And actually, I didn't verse my question to the audience properly in the article, but feel free to go read it. I want to say it's visually appealing because it's full of Playboy content, but it's really not, and that's kind of the point I was making, but not at all for what I want to talk about here. So there's something that Playboy did recently, you know, Bayonetta. It's been getting a lot of attention, perhaps just because of the lady used in the game, which is
the lady
not necessary
and
for the
hair and the extremely large
guns,
shoes.
Yes. I don't actually know if she's well stacked in the game. I have
no idea. She doesn't. No, she has a lot of like, yes, she has actually a surprising round of armor around the chest area.
Yeah, but I would say not large for a game, but if she was a human for reals, then
no,
yes, probably large.
No, chested. She, yeah, it didn't seem like there's not much of that boobage going on. Yeah.
Certainly the ladies who dressed up as her at the conferences were.
Yeah. It's a little disappointing because normally, I mean, you would...
Yes.
Now the standard of cleavage, the bar has been
raised.
We
need Team Ninja to just step up and make a game. Like, there's that Bikini Samurai game. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
They need one where your weapons are actually your body parts.
Well...
Kind of like in Stretch Panic with the bad guys.
Yes. Yeah, kind of like that. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, so anyway... Bayonetta getting a lot of attention for the girl in the game, and apparently the game, you can put in this easy mode where all you do is tap A and you kick everybody's ass.
I think that they copied her face off of Sarah Palin.
This is just because of the glasses.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, so clearly they were going for a look. So Playboy creates this Bayonetta lookalike contest, and I gather from this, without knowing anything about the game, that Bayonetta is actually the character's name, not just a title for the game. So they get together these... girls, and I struggle to refer to them as models, and if you go to the website, you'll see what I mean. They put together five. Let me bring up the website for Ara here. And by the website, I mean Golgatron.
This is all happening in real time.
Oh, yes, it is. Our sister website.
and maybe one or two ladies might be listening.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, Playboy creates this content, this lookalike contest with five girls. Presumably Playboy models, I guess. I can only guess because otherwise why would you be on this Playboy
all
content?
All I see is a picture of a girl spooning a mound of cocaine
into her
mouth.
It's an article from a few days ago, man. Come look. Anyway, so my question really, though, was did Sega, the makers of Bayonetta, say to Playboy, hey, we've got this thing going on. You should create this contest for your website. It'll get you some hits. We'll give you some money. And you do this thing, which gets some attention to our game. And, of course, you go to Playboy's website, and they try to sell you the game through whatever affiliate link they have or whatever. and there's pictures of these girls dressed up as Bayonetta. Interestingly, there's one black girl, which didn't quite fit the mold, but whatever. She's dressed in the costume.
I can't even tell if those are, like, accurate or not accurate.
Well, no, not at all. Anyway, but you can see more later. So, anyway, there's also... videos put together where they take gameplay footage that always starts off like, do you want to touch me? And that's apparently said in the game.
Really?
Yeah. And she has some sort of stick in her mouth, which I can only assume is a lollipop, because what they've done is they've green screened these girls onto the gameplay footage in total like B-movie style. Like, let me show you. I'll play
this
one for
this,
you.
This sounds like it will not
come
end well.
Look at this. All right. So Ara and I are watching Ryan. So this is gameplay footage. And then you switch over. Feel free to go to the website and see this yourself, listeners. And then they green screen on this B-movie style footage, but they just put her on there. And she's saying stupid lines like, do you want to touch me? And she's sucking on a lollipop. And so Playboy...
Okay, Dorkorama, but I have a feeling that was perhaps maybe a bit intentional.
It can't be, dude. Like, it's not so tongue-in-cheek funny. It's just really poorly done.
But some people aren't that good about being tongue-in-cheek.
So I get the feeling that they gave, like, their worst videographer this job of just, hey, can you just go do this? I know it sucks. Nobody likes video games. Or us cool kids who know the ladies don't like video games, but we've got this job to do. So anyway, how this relates to our show here. My question is...
That's just scary, dude.
Isn't
like,
it?
I just want to run with my arms in the air.
Like, why does this exist?
Run away. Just run away.
So here's my question, which I don't think I worded very well in the article. I'll change it. Did Sega approach Playboy? And I bet I could find someone to actually get me a real life answer on this. Did Sega approach Playboy as an advertising technique to say, do this? You don't have to call it advertising, but make this. Here's some cash. Here's some costumes. Put this together. Or does Sega see so much value in the gamer demographic that they took the time, energy, and resources, which is a even though it's poorly done, you have to get the videographer, you have to get the costumes, you have to get the girls, who I sure hope were paid, because their careers aren't going anywhere. They need something. did they take all the resources necessary to create this website, to create a contest where you can actually rate girls somehow, and get it all created because they feel that it could actually drive traffic to their own website? I don't think it had anything to do with the magazine, right? It was only just whatever.
My guess is, I bet this Sega just did it all.
So you think it's a paid advertisement?
Sure. Yeah, that's what I think.
Like, I honestly don't know what is more likely.
I don't think Playboy has time for this kind of
But they do a lot of game
shenanigans.
Stuff. Like, so if you click on these videos, right, like, it'll end up taking you to to Playboy's website, I think, somehow. Somewhere. Click to see more. Yeah, eventually you get this link, and it takes you to Playboy. I wonder what the people at the studio are going to think about the browsing history here. Anyway, they've got, you can play games, which are like tic-tac-toe games that reveal pictures of girls or whatever in the cyber Playboy thing and then get you to sign up. So that's driving customers. But also you can read The Gamer Next Door, where they do a bunch of video blogs with someone who surely isn't a gamer. I think her name is Jo Garcia, and she was like Playmate of the Year or something. They have her pretend that she's a game geek to appeal to this gamer audience. So clearly they see some value. At some point in Playboy, someone in Playboy thinks there is some value in the gamer audience, and it's going to drive traffic. But I really don't know. Was this more Sega-driven or more Playboy-driven, or just, you know, two marketing guys at each place know each other?
If I had a gun to my head, had to choose Sega.
Really?
Yeah, I think they just...
And not just a collaboration.
No, because that's really, I think, just less likely, strictly speaking.
I tell you what, though. Doing this taught me that there's a whole bunch of... video blogs that I can just embed in Golgatron to make up articles. You
know, that's
to
wonderful.
Put stuff on the website. So I'll probably be doing that and making fun of Jo Garcia a little bit later. but I'm curious to know what other people think. Like, do we really think Playboy has that much of places that much value on the gamer? And you as a gamer, at least I assume someone who's listening to the show is. Do you find yourself? Are you even aware that Playboy and potentially other adult entertainment venues? Generated content for you, the gamer.
No, and I don't like to mix my activities. I don't like mixing business with pleasure.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying.
The whole. I mean, come on. I brought this up before. Okay, like the whole like porno with the 15-minute non-porno intro. Like, no, it's not working.
Not necessary.
No, not even not necessary. Just not. It just is not working.
All right. I can tell you what I'm actually not interested in. It's watching a girl tell me, you know, what she thinks of this. Oh, the most recent one, well, it was most recent a few days ago, was about the Porsche driving wheel controller for Forza 3 that she was playing on the Xbox 360, which I think is the same wheel I used on a PC version of Forza at CES.
Honestly.
And was really hard to play with. And she's like, oh, it really feels great. It links back to the road very easily.
I don't get the appeal of that. I mean, I don't think that anybody ever looks at any of those videos for any purpose other than to see Jo Garcia in whatever...
She's just wearing normal clothes in this video.
Okay, but come on. That'll never stop a guy.
In the Wii Fit videos, she's wearing
cute,
nothing.
If she's cute enough.
In the Wii videos, she's wearing just, like, bra and panties.
And I can confidently say that those are probably the most downloaded ones.
Do you know what's interesting, though? You go to these, the Jo Garcia girl game or whatever it is they're trying to push here... there's no evidence of views. Not like YouTube, where it tells you how many times you know, video has been seen.
Right.
Playboy is, I assume, intentionally not showing us the number of times it's been viewed.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's intentional.
Right. Probably not a lot of views on this steering wheel controller thing that Jo Garcia is telling me all about. Oh, it's just $350. I think it feels good. And then you watch her, like, hitting the walls left and right. You can tell it's good because it's so hard to use. What?
Very
anyway,
nice.
So that's my little rant on Playboy.
Okay.
Go to the site, golgatron.com, if you want to actually see what those videos are all about.
I got to get something out before we start hitting the end of the show.
We've got a few minutes left. Okay.
Yeah. We've got... So, okay. Thexter Neo.
Thexter Neo.
Okay.
Anybody
okay.
know what Thexter is?
Thexter is a game that came out in like what? Like 82 or 85 or something like that.
It was around before I knew how to use DOS.
Now, make no mistake, I have no intention of criticizing a game just because of its age, because that does not mean anything by itself. But out of all the games, out of all the selections that you could make to redo a game...
Crazy, right? That they even
Thexter?
Thought about that game?
Really? Thexter?
See, Thexter holds a special place in my heart because when I was younger, I didn't have a lot of games to choose from, but it was a game that my friend had and liked. And it was like, hey, we should play this game. And I was like, yeah, we should totally play this game, right? Because it was the only one available.
Right. And did
so
you get past, like, the first stage? Even?
No, I never could. And I don't even know if I remember it well enough. But it's a nostalgic thing for me.
It's the nostalgia of pain and confusion.
Like, I wouldn't even have known when I was that young if that game was particularly hard or not because I had been introduced to so few games.
Right. Now, let me explain to you guys a few things about Thexter. And... if anybody out there, really, at all, actually likes Thexter, please write or call us.
The original or the Neo? Because they're not getting their hands on the old one.
Anyone. Because it appears as if they're basically the same. Just the new one's just new graphics. Let me tell you something about Thexter, okay? it's just, it's so bad. It's so bad.
Am I right to think, like, I'm trying to remember it even. Is it just you're a tiny little dude in a really big level?
You're a guy in a big level, and you can turn into a ship and fly around, and everything moves faster than you, except when you're in the ship form, where everything moves just as fast as you.
And you can't hit walls, but it's really hard to steer because the walls are so close to you.
Well, yeah, because it's a side scroll, and you turn into a ship, which is just, and then, okay, there's more, right? It's like almost everything you do, right? You lose energy, hit points. If we get hit by an enemy, lose hit points. Okay, normal, no problem. Okay, I'm going to use a shield. Oh, I'm going to sacrifice 30% of my hit points. Oh, let me shoot. Oh, there goes a very few hit points.
Because you're using lasers.
I guess they're pretty powerful lasers.
Well, if Dexter's energy is his power source, and he's using power to shoot a laser, it only makes sense, sir.
My point is that the demand of resource management it places on the player is so strict, so crazy, that I just can't imagine why anyone would derive joy from that game. It's just, it's... Now, this is coming from somebody who likes Demon Souls, mind you, okay?
That's a great irony, sir. That game is quite hard.
It's... Why would they remake this game? Why would they think that this is a game that people like to play? It's so unplayable. I just, please, somebody educate me. Please, somebody tell me that.
How much does it cost? Is it PlayStation Network only, right?
I don't know. I think it's like $9.99 or something.
Yeah, it's not a disc-based game, so it's not that pricey.
No.
You're better off probably just playing. I assume you played the demo?
Yeah, the demo.
Yeah. Play just the demo. I'm sure you'll get enough out of it, out of the demo. I didn't even realize it was out. He just told me that.
Just came out last week. I'm just, I don't know. I'm beside myself.
Yeah.
What can I say?
All right. I was trying to think I should talk about... I played another game of Civilization this week. But no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell a little story of non-gaming story about something that came to Phoenix recently. We've only got like a minute left.
Sure.
I'm looking for filler here.
Let's go for it.
Yesterday, I took a sick day because I hurt so bad. I went to this place called Jump Street in Phoenix. I told you about it, right?
Yeah, and I was
all
excited.
Trampolines, like, all the time.
Yeah.
They've got dodgeball
Sounds
trampoline.
Great.
I'm officially old.
Trent.
Like, I've been talking about how I'm old, how my back hurts.
Trampolines on walls.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah, trampolines on walls is crazy. I just couldn't even sit up the next day. There is something wrong with my back as a human being. There's something wrong, like some sort of scoliosis or something. Seriously. But using these trampolines for an hour, I couldn't even deal with myself the next day.
Is that why it was so bad? Or was it like downtown Beirut in there or something?
No, it was fine there. It was a great place. And if you're not damaged like I am, you should totally go. It's in Chandler somewhere. Go to gotjump.com, I think, is their website. But it was painful to me after the first 10 minutes, and I'm horrified that I'm old.
This
relates to gaming, because I've played games when I was a kid.
See, when you told me about it before the show, I was expecting a story about how you were assaulted by a gang of, like, 3 foot...
Anyway, we're about to go. Check out uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology. They're our sponsor. We love them. Way to go, everyone. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.